Okay, I'm going to pray for the message and pray for you to receive the word and that we would have faith in our hearts. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come under the authority of your word. Lord, I thank you for the revelation and the illumination that comes through the word and the preaching of your word today. I really do ask that every one of us would apprehend it through faith and that, Lord, that you would write it in our minds and in our hearts and that, Lord, this would just become life as we preach it today under your anointing. So, Lord, bless us and reveal yourself through your word today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The message that I want to preach today, to be honest with you, over the years that I've served the Lord, and it's been over 40 now, I've actually never heard this message before. We've heard glimpses of it, but we haven't heard the depth of this and not the practicality of outworking it. And I said, Lord, but why is that? And I can't answer that. I just know God's placed it on my heart, and I'm going to preach it today, and I trust that you're going to be blessed and that God's going to enrich you, and you're going to learn something today, and your life is going to be changed. I really want to believe that your life is going to be changed for the good through this. Now, I was reading in Exodus 33, and Moses had an incredible relationship with God. Even though he was weak as a man, it says in Exodus 33, verse 11, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as he speaks to his friend." So the inference of speaking face to face, it's intimacy. It's looking eyeball to eyeball. It's connecting, you know. I just love it when I go to a coffee shop. Us guys don't do it, but you ladies, when you sit at a coffee shop, do you notice how you eyeball to eyeball one another? Have you noticed that? You're not laughing. But I watch you ladies, how intensely you get involved with one another. You do not see the world around you. You connect, and you see one another, and you're listening, and you're hearing. That's face-to-face, how God actually connects with us. He's eyeball to eyeball, and he connects with us. And then Moses gets to the place in Exodus 33, verse 13 to 14. He says to the Lord, he puts a request before the Lord. He says, "Now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I might know you, that I might find grace in your sight again, and consider this nation as your people." And then the Lord responds to Moses and says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now, what a promise. Moses is reaching out to God, and here the Lord comes back with a promise, says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now, I went and looked up that word presence in the Hebrew, and it's actually a plural. It's a plural word. So when presence is talking, it's not talking about an individual. It's even though it's used in the singular, it's talking about God, and God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even if you know from the Hebrew, when the Hebrew word for the Trinity is Elohim, us, talks about us, and that word is actually used right in the beginning of Genesis. God is referred to as us. Let's make man in our image, us. And that's very important, that when God represents himself, he rep himself as one, but it's us, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here it says, this word presence actually means, from the Hebrew, it talks about the face, the part of the body that turns, that looks. So the presence of God is actually his face upon us. He's facing us. He's looking at us, and he wants to have eye contact with us. Now, this was under the Old Testament, but under the New Testament, it's Christ that his face will be talking to us. And the scripture I want to be using as text to this, and my theme for this message is practicing the presence of Christ. You see, in Colossians, this is, if you want to get your Bibles out, from Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, this talks about Christ's presence in our lives. It says here, this mystery of Christ, of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want you to recognize that as Arthur even intimated today, and it came through the prophecies and the word of knowledge today, is that God wants to be with us, and he has come to us, and he's come to live inside of us. And this is where the presence of God is now in us. The Bible tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The old temple has been destroyed. The daily sacrifices and all those things, they were destroyed in 70 AD. The Romans came and obliterated that because there was a revolt at that time. So the daily sacrifices are not partaking in Jerusalem anymore. And even in John chapter 4, Jesus said to the Samaritan, no longer will you worship me here in Samaria or in Jerusalem, but you will worship me in spirit and in truth. And Jesus set up his new temple. Even when the curtain was torn from top to bottom when Jesus died, it stopped the worship in Jerusalem. And God came and opened up the way that he could come live inside our hearts. So that's the miracle that actually takes place when you give your heart to Jesus. When you say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus does this incredible work that he comes to live inside of you. Now, you know, we recognize that and we acknowledge that and we know that. But does that really, do you really understand that God himself comes to live inside of you and that this is his presence? He spoke to Moses face to face in a sense, in that there was distance. But here he comes to live inside our hearts. And I come today to really encourage you is that God wants us to walk in an intimate relationship with him, with Christ in us. Even though Christ represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God put everything into his Son. And when we look to Christ and we're actually relating to God through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And I really want to encourage you today. And that's what I want to bring an outworking of how do we work this out in our lives. I want to just say, for me, it's one of the essences of being a Christian is having an intimate personal relationship with the Lord. And I think that's a key. And, you know, we should be able to say to one another, how's your relationship with the Lord? What did he say to you today? We cannot be thinking that God's far away. He's within us. But do we have a relationship with him? And I want to just say, in a lot of Christian lives, and even in my life at times, Jesus is very alone in my heart because I don't really talk to him much. I get on with my life and I do my things and I'm self-motivated and I'm driving my bus and I'm getting it going in the right direction, and Jesus is just standing there watching what I'm doing. And that's all of us. Because let me just say, this intimate relationship with Jesus is something you've got to work at. It does not just happen. It doesn't just happen. It's got to be worked at. And that's what I really want to encourage you here today. I come to encourage you in this area. How can we get to a place of practicing the presence of Christ? So I've got three topics, the three E's. The employment to know Christ. Secondly, the establishing ourselves in the sense of Christ's presence. And thirdly, the efficacy of knowing the presence of Christ. All these big words this morning. Can we believe it? Employment, establishing, efficacy. Efficacy means the effectiveness of knowing the presence of God. So what is our employment to know the Lord Jesus Christ? The more one knows him, the more one desires to know him. If you've never met Jesus, you might have confessed him as Lord, but if you've never met him, to get to know him who he is, can I highly recommend to get to know him? Can I highly recommend to get to know him? Because you know what? He loves you and he knows you. And he knows you for who you are. He says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And when he made you, he broke the mold and he made one of you. And the way he relates to you is perfect. In your personality type and where you've grown up, he understands you perfectly. The language you speak, this is our God, how he relates to you. And I want to just say, get to know him. And to get to know him is a measure of love. This is not just a knowing that we know of someone. This is an intimate relationship that is a measure of love. That's why, you know, marriage, you can be married, but you may not know your spouse. You're in covenant, you've done the thing, you're wearing the ring, you've got the same house, but there's no intimacy, there's no conversation, there's no sharing of lives. And us men have difficulty at sometimes doing those things, but when a woman comes into her home, that what she treasures is this intimacy of working out. And you know, God is both male and female. And there's a sense of in that relationship with him, he nurtures us. He nurtures us to get to a place that we get to a place of intimacy, and allowing us to get to fall in love with Him. See, the deeper and more extensive our knowledge of Him, the greater becomes our love. We need to grow in our love for God. You know, when God gives us the command to love Him with everything that we have, that's not just something to honor Him. That's because He wants us to know Him. And He knows the only relationship that He wants with us is a loving relationship, that we love Him. Now, He will say to me, well, Mark, I don't know how to love God. I want to just say to you, love Him. As simple as that. God has given man, and especially as we as in Christ, the love of God has been placed with us, we can reach out and we can love God. We can work it out. So how do we love Him? We love Him in all things. Whatever we're going through life, we need to love Him. And then as Arthur was saying to us, we need to seek Him and find Him in this new season. We seek Him with faith. You know, we cannot please God unless we come before Him with faith. But faith pleases Him. And I want to say to you, we cannot see God, but by faith we believe and we can relate to Him. Now, faith is of a child. Children have faith, you know. I look at Josh and how he has faith in his parents and know that they will provide for him. I want to just say, same with us with our Father. Have faith. Believe. You know, so many people battle with their relationship with God because this element of doubt and unbelief comes in because they relate to God on your fleshly realm. They don't relate to Him in the spiritual realm and walk by faith. You know, the spiritual realm needs to become more real than the fleshly realm. Jesus lived in that realm. As you go and see the Gospels, He lived in that perspective of the Spirit being more real than the flesh. That's where God wants us to continue our relationship. And then be earnestly devoted to Him. Let Jesus become your all in all. Allow Him to change your life, that your only recourse in life is Jesus Christ. You know, I think it was 2 years ago, I had a great opportunity to be in Burundi, and the Lord opened up an opportunity to go to a refugee camp in a place called Ruyigi, and the refugees that were there were people that were displaced out of the DRC, that there had been rebels there, and they had lost everything. And they came there, they came with nothing. All they came with their very clothes that they were wearing. And the United Nations provides food for them, which is an incredible outworking of grace. It provides food for them, oil in them, provides shelter for them. But these people came broken. And these were Christians that came there. And Stanley, that we work with, had established a church in this refugee camp. And all they had when they came there, all they had was Jesus. They had nothing left in the world, all they had. But you know what? In that state they found themselves, could they worship God? Could they praise His name and they could honor Him? They realized all they had is Jesus. All they had was Jesus. Now, we're not in that place. God has blessed us, and I'm not saying it's wrong to be blessed. But our hearts need to change, that everything we have needs to be Jesus. We cannot trust in anything else. We cannot trust in the love of this world. We cannot trust in our money. We cannot trust in our assets. And I'm not saying to you now go and sell all those things. But I'm telling you, you need to change your heart that everything is Jesus. Because you see, when He becomes first and foremost in your life, and He becomes everything, those things become strangely dim and life starts to become full. You see, there's a higher life in Christ. And a higher life is not found in the things. That's been the wrong gospel, where the Lord will just add things to you, and seemingly out of adding the things to you, that you are blessed. The blessing is knowing God, that fullness of knowing Him. And I come to encourage you with that. So the second point, establish ourselves in the sense of Christ's presence. And I have 8 points here to give you some practical handles how to actually establish yourself in the presence of Christ. Firstly, you need to know Christ is inside of you. You've got to know that. So your relationship is with Him within you. Not far away, is inside of you. You can measure that distance. It's very close to who you are. But the first point is there, continually converse with Him. Now, men don't like always to talk, but we've got to have a conversation with God. We've got to continually converse with Him. And, you know, we like to be still, but we need to talk. And I want to just say, if you want to get close to Jesus, continually converse with him. Talk to him. Talk to him about life. Talk to him about your emotions. Talk to him about your pains, your anxieties. Be talking and continue to talk. This is what, you know, everyone gets prayer all wrong. Prayer, in most of our estimation, is bringing our requests before God and our petitions. No, prayer is actually conversation and conversing with God. That's what prayer is all about. It goes into petition, it goes into supplication, but it actually needs to be a conversation that we have with him. So how do we converse with him? With freedom, with simplicity. We don't come with long prayers. God knows our hearts. We don't come with a self-righteous heart. We don't come with so-called religious, with long prayers, and then think God's going to be, just speak your heart. You know, how often do you say it? You need to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm battling. Help me. God's there like that. That's what he loves, that intimate relationship. You know, when Peter climbed out of the boat and the Lord called him and he was sinking, he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord grabbed him and saved him in that situation. This is our conversation that we need to have with him. But remember, in the outworking of the normal living, we need to be humble before our God, we need to be meek before him, and we need to walk with love before him. We can't walk with a harshness, and we can't be accusational. We've got to be in a place of humility before him. Because you know what? Our God is awesome, incredible, and you just don't get into his presence if you don't come with the right attitude. He blocks you out. You won't get in it. But when you come with humility and meekness and with love in your heart, his heart is just open to you, and you meet with him. And remember also, your conversation with God, you're not dealing with a human. Very important. You're dealing with the divine, God Almighty. Now remember, because he's God, the best way to start your conversation with him is to start to praise him and to adore him and to tell him how much you love him. I want to tell you, that just opens up. Psalm 100 says, come with thanksgiving in your heart and praise in your heart before the Lord, and you come into his presence. And I want to tell you, that's a secret. It's not just a Sunday morning that we come and we sing songs and we come into God's presence. You need to do it individually. And that's how you do it, when you're talking to him and when you wake up in the morning, good morning, Lord. I love you. I praise you. How great and how wonderful you are. I'm telling you, you just open up the door to his presence. It's just, he's there all the time. You just open it up to that, and you'll see this is the wonder of a continual conversation. So I encourage you, chat to your God. Don't bring it down to common levels, but be continually conversing with him. Secondly, seek to fulfill his will in your outworking of your life. That comes to a place of obedience. Jesus taught us to pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's a simple thing. And you'll go and read through the New Testament, and you'll see the saints of old saw that the will of God was very important. And how often do we use that today when we make decisions, we do things? We're never qualified anymore if the Lord is willing. We don't. We just do our own thing, and then we say, Lord, bless what we've done. We need to be in a place, say, Lord, your will be done. Thirdly, we need to make the love of God the goal of all our lives. We need to engage in learning to love him and experience our love for him. You see, God doesn't want religious exercises or to restrict our body actions. He doesn't want us to become like going to a monastery and restricting things. We need to be in a place of love. Now, hear my heart what I'm about to say. We need to fast and we need to pray. But if we're going to move the hand of God through just fasting and praying, I think we're missing the point. You move God's hand by loving him. That's the key. Fasting actually sorts your flesh out and puts your flesh down that you can live in the spirit. Fasting actually doesn't always move the presence of God. It's when we love him. And I want you to test that. I want you to test that. Go, and when you leave here today, go and spend time with the Lord and just tell him how much you love him and you thank him for your salvation, and you thank him that he paid the price for your sin, and you and where you find yourself and the largesse that you actually have in your lives. I'm telling you, you will sense the presence of God immediately. Prayer and fasting, yes, is good, but it doesn't get you always into the presence of God immediately like that. So I really want to encourage you, continually exercise your love and towards the Lord. And then make sure in your relationship with the Lord that you do not offend Him. Always be in a place that you want to please Him. Now, you can offend the Lord. Those spies that were sent out to go and look at the promised land, Joshua and Caleb came back with faith, the others didn't. They actually upset God. And you know what happened because of that? That Israel nation spent 40 years in the desert because of their unbelief. That offends God. Can I tell you, if I walk with the Lord, and over the years I've walked with the Lord, and I'm dealing with God's people, if you come with unbelief, I just sense God's offense comes immediately in that. He gets so upset that you don't trust Him. How can you come with that unbelief? How dare you, in a sense, I feel in my heart, how dare you have unbelief that you cannot trust me? Didn't I say that I'll be your God and I'll be your provide for you? It's a very, very important word that we don't offend the Lord, that we don't walk with unbelief. And then also this portion of sin, that we must be in a place to that we can walk in the presence and care for nothing and not be fretful in life and fear nothing. And the scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That does not say you will not go through difficulties. But when the anxiety comes in that situation, God gives us the remedy how to get it through prayer, that conversation with Him, bringing the petition, the supplication with thanksgiving, presented to God. And what that presentation is, it's not for you to say, Lord, this is the problem now, sort it out. It's actually for you to release it and let it go. Because then you come into this place of peace. And you see, to walk in the presence of Almighty God, if you are walking in fear, you won't know His presence. You won't have a sense of His presence. You need to have peace in your heart. And that's one of the things that you've got to ensure in all your lives to walk in God's presence. Make sure the peace of God is ruling in your heart. And there are many things in life, and I'm sure you've come even to this morning, there are things that are robbing you of your peace. And that's why you're not experiencing God's presence. You need to break that thing over your life. And how do we deal? We take the fearful things, the anxious things, and we bring it to God and we release it to Him. He's the only one that can deal with it. You cannot deal with it. He can. Take it to Him and walk with peace that you might know his presence with you. Then the next point, number four, is spend the remainder of your life only in worshiping the Lord. You know, as I've walked with the Lord again, I'm just finding worship is such a key aspect of our relationship with God. Learn to worship God. You know, we did that psalmody course in the life of the church, and I want to really encourage you to get hold of it and do it again. There's an aspect that David worked out in his life of worshiping God. Read the Psalms again and just see something of David, of his relationship with God, founded in worship. And it's important, and maybe we need to do it again, to go through the words of praise. The English is so weak compared to the Hebrew. There are 12 words for praise, and they go from praising God in song to praising Him in love and with thanksgiving. There's different aspects of how to worship God in doing that. We need to grow in that, in our worship for God. There are times to worship Him in love, but there are times to worship Him in thankfulness. There are times to worship Him in song. We're very good at the song, but are we good at the other elements of worshiping? And I want to encourage you, worship God. God desires for us to worship because He's God. And you see, when we don't worship Him, we're going to be worshiping Him something else. And I don't know what it is. A lot of the problem we all have is worshiping self, not worshiping God. And I tell you, get your eyes off yourself and worship Him. It's the most precious place to find yourself is to be worshiping Him. The next point is number five, give thanks in all circumstances. I tell you, if you're not thankful, you will grumble, you will complain, and you will murmur. And we all predisposed to the grumbling, murmuring spirit, all of us. And I'm telling you now, we all grumble. When we are inconvenienced, we grumble. And the Bible teaches us now to be thankful in and for every circumstance we find ourselves in, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the scriptures are from 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians 5. verse 20. I'm always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, thankfulness will change your outlook on life. Sally has been through many things in life, and she will say one of the secrets of her life is she's been thankful in all circumstances. And I'm telling you, that does not come easy. When difficulties come your way and circumstances come your way, be thankful. When sickness comes, be thankful. When suffering comes, be thankful. When lack comes, be thankful. Because you know what you do? When you start to put thankfulness out of your mouth, you put Jesus back as Lord, and his presence becomes a reality to you. So practice the presence of God by being thankful. The next point is number 6, renewing our minds in his presence. Now, our minds are important. God puts a lot of our thinking as a key aspect of who we are. But the majority of our thinking, we need to turn our minds to be thinking on him. And that's why the Bible in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5 says, bring down the strongholds and the imagination and the pretensions that you could have your mind fixed upon him. You see, God doesn't want your mind to just be nebulous and be empty. That's a very dangerous place for your mind just to be empty, because the devil will fill it with stuff and will actually lead you astray with that. You need to fill your mind with the Word of God and fill your mind with him as you look to him and focus upon him. Very, very important. And if you're not taking control of your thought processes, folk, you're in danger. Because not every thought that you have is of you. It's of the devil. And sometimes, I'm sure you're all subject to this, even myself, a lot of the times, these thoughts come against me. Where the goodness did that come from? It's from the enemy. But you have a responsibility, because it has no power at that time. But when you take authority over that thing and you bring it to obedience to Christ, then it has no authority. But if you entertain it, what actually happens? You add your faith to that thing, and that thing becomes a reality. And that's where negative thoughts come there, and when sickness comes and stuff like that, a lot of the process comes through our thinking. But if we have our minds thinked on Jesus, what happens? There's life. And you dispel those things. You still got authority to take over those things. And then I want to encourage you, if you've taken hold of those thoughts and you've fallen in those things and you've recognized you've fallen in that, I want to tell you there's a way out. There's no condemnation in Christ. Repent. Say, sorry, Lord. Ask for his forgiveness and ask him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's a beautiful thing that Jesus loves you so much that will cleanse you, that thing that comes in that has birthed sin in your life can be rid of. It's not just getting forgiveness of sins when you come to Christ. It's in our daily walk where we miss it now and again. Do you know what? You're allowed to miss it. Do you know that? You're allowed to miss it. But there, in the missing, you need to get to a place that you ask God for forgiveness and you repent of your ways, and that he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Is this making sense? I'm just looking at faces there, intently looking at me. Or is God working in your hearts yet today? Amen. Are those faces smiling? I can't see your face, Arthur. He's got his mask on. Well done, Arthur. The rest of you are naughty today. The next point, number 7, practicing the presence of Christ is not a methodology or a ritual. One day you'll do it this way, the next day it doesn't work. Don't get into a ritual. God is creative, and you've got to open up your hearts and let him do that. You've got to do it with simplicity of a child, in faith, with humility and love, and knowing that you want to please him, and then God will actually do something wonderful in your life. I just know I'm trying to, in my walk with the Lord, and I just commit my time to him and say, Lord, you be creative and show me the different things. Even as you read the Word, even though you read the Word every day, let there be newness in that. And God is new every morning. And don't let this get into a rut, because that's a dangerous place to get into. Our relationships get into a rut. We've got to allow God to be creative and dynamic and organic in our lives. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's incredible. As you open up your heart to him and then go forward from there. And then point 8, nothing less or more than the continual divine presence of Christ. And this is where I really want to encourage you. This has to be cultivated and has become a habit in your life. You see, it's not going to happen overnight, this practicing the presence of God. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to commit yourself to it. This is something fantastic as you commit yourself to it and you give yourself daily time to work this out. You're going to find the presence of God. And you know, it's my prayer for every one of you that you don't find religion just an outworking of religious activity, that you find the Lord, that you know Him. You know, the Lord spoke very, very firmly to us last week about those who were in church and they were casting out devils and they were prophesying and they said, Lord, 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 when he comes back, He said, get away from me, you evildoers, I did not know you. That's the indictment of many that we can do, the actions of so-called Christianity, and we don't know our God. And I come to encourage you here today is that my desire of my heart is that you get to know God's presence. Not the frill and the sensation that you get sometimes when God blesses us with a manifestation, that you know Him in your heart. And I'm telling you, as you make your hearts tender before Him, you might not hear the voice of God now, but as you start to converse with Him and you allow Him to talk, you will hear more and more God actually speaking to you through your spirit. You will hear Him. It'll be that gentle, small voice that will be nudging you and stirring you and leading you, and you will find your life very different. I want to just say even to your young guys here, nurture this practice in the presence of Christ. You need it in the playground. You need it in the classroom. You need it when you're facing those bullies. You need to hear what God is actually saying to you, because He's with you and wants to help you as you go forward in that. You see, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, it talks about taking on God's yoke. And I love from the Message that in verse 29, it says, walk with me and work with thee and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. This walking with Christ is a rhythm of grace. And you know, you look at the rivers and you look at the seas, the currents flow, and you can never determine where they're flowing. It's a rhythm. It's flowing all the time. You've got to get in that rhythm. You've got to get in that river. And you've got to get into that rhythm with God. And I want to encourage you, this is one of the greatest things you'll ever do. Yes, we've got work to do. We've got to preach this gospel. But you've got to get to know your God. You cannot get to heaven and not know Him. What a waste of life on earth and not knowing Him, where He's come to live inside of you. So my third point, the efficacy of knowing the presence of Christ. You need to measure your knowing of Christ. You need to measure, are you walking in the presence of God? You see, the saints of old, the New Testament Christians, had the Old Testament, but they never had the New Testament. And they knew God's presence. They were led by the Spirit of God. They walked with God. And I want to just say to you, we've lost something of that. We've lost that, walking in the presence of Christ. The Lord said to His disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the very end of the age. Have we lost Christ? Have we lost Christ? I pray no. May you find Christ and may you find His presence. And when He speaks, obey. Do what He tells you to do. Love Him like you've never loved Him before. Love Him. I'm telling you, it's the essence of life. You know, when you move from this earth to the next, to heaven, I don't want you to place and say, is that Jesus? You need to know Him. You might not recognize Him face to face, but you'll know Him from your intimacy that you have within your heart and grow in that relationship with you. Some of you are widows. Some of you are single. Circumstances of life have thrown things to you. And even in marriages, you might be very lonely. You shouldn't be lonely. You've got Jesus inside of you. And build that relationship. And out of that, you will find that you'll be able to give testimony to who He is. When the Holy Spirit said, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses, it was first to know Him. And out of that, you'll give testimony to other people. they will see you have a relationship with someone else. And I'm telling you, it will come out so naturally in your life. You don't have to Bible punch them with scriptures. It will come in. They will see Christ in you. Amen? Can I pray with you? Because I really want to just trust that this will be birthed in your heart. And my challenge is to you. We've got some time now that we're going to be slowing down from our normal outworking of life. We're going to be spending time with family. Do not rest from your relationship and your intimacy with Christ. And at the end of January, I'm going to ask you to come and stand up here as you work this thing out, because it's got to be cultivated. You're going to come here and give us testimony how God has actually worked in your life. I want to encourage you to do that and work hard at this. So whether you walk in and walking with a family on the beach, or you're preparing a Christmas meal, whatever you're doing over this next season, wherever you find yourself, practice the presence of Christ. Because when you find Him, you will find your Father and you'll find the Holy Spirit. That's how the scripture, I didn't get to it. The scripture is actually everything of God has been put into Christ until the day that Jesus hands it back to our Father. So practice the presence of Christ. Can I pray for you? Lord, we thank you that you've come to live inside of us. And you know, Lord, we are foolish at times, and we've followed the wrong way, and we haven't always cultivated a relationship and an intimate relationship with you. But Lord, I ask on behalf of every one of us, Lord, we want to get to know you. We want to love you more. We want to walk in a deep, intimate love for you. And I pray for us as your people here, Church on the Way, and those that are watching by YouTube. Lord, will you bring transformation to every one of our lives? Not to become, and I choose the word carefully, not to become religious or legalistic, but to have an intimate personal relationship with you and to love you deeply and to know your love that is so deep for us. That, Lord, that our lives would be different, that we would live this higher life that you've called us to live, not trying to attain it, but live in it by faith in you. So, Lord, as I just commit us to you in your grace, Lord, will you be merciful to us? May everyone here, Lord, grow deeper in practicing your presence and hearing you and walking with you. May every one of us have a testimony to say, I heard the Lord. I know what he's telling me to do. I have an intimate personal relationship with him. And that out of that, Lord, that we'll be fruitful and bring glory to you, and glory to you too, Father. So, Lord, we just commit our ways before you. May this not just be another message. May it be written in our hearts by you, Holy Spirit. May we practice the presence of Christ. Thank you, Father. Amen.